unfortunate, you know, that the members' training delayed the process to appoint a new NLC chairperson. And from the program that's been put before us, it seems that we, you know, will only be able to finalize this, you know, towards the end of March, which kind of defeats the timeline that we had agreed upon at the end of last year. Now, if you would have read in the Sunday Times over this past weekend, it seems as if there's civil war at the NLC at this moment in time, and there seems to be a problem with the appointment of the minister's representative as chairperson. Therefore, I'm appealing to you, Chair, to see if we're able to rework the program so that we are able to get this process finalized so we can restore some sort of balance back to the NLC and so that they can also get on with the work of restoring that institution, if at all possible. I just think that it would be best for the institution if we finalize that process and give them a clean slate to start on.
Thank you. Yes, thanks, Honourable Carpet. It's noted. Let me say, Honourable Hems, can I take your hands? Honourable Hems?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to point out that on the 9th of March, when we are supposed to be undertaking the interviews, there's a clash with the plenary that starts at 2 o'clock. So we might just have to re-look at that time slot, Chairperson. And then I want to ask if we can take Honourable Cuthbert's proposal to MANCOM and see how we can rework the program.
And Honourable Yako?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yes, loud and clear, loud and clear.
Okay. I think that in conjunction with what Honourable Cuthbert and Honourable Hermans is saying, I think that when it comes to the NLC, the entire NLC subject, I don't think we should rush it in a way that we fast-track it without fine-tuning it. So I'm okay with starting on the 24th of February with the consideration of the candidates. So I'm okay with that process starting from then and then moving on in a way that is going to be authentic. And after that, after we're done, is going to be as honest and as unified as possible. That's all I wanted to say in terms of that.
Honourable Carpet.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, I do agree with Ms. Herman's proposal, and I'm happy for you to do that. I just want to make mention of something because it was raised by Ms. Yarko. Is I think it would be feasible, you know, to actually start with the process on the 24th. However, there are meetings in between, whereas I was thinking if we could reschedule the other meetings to later on in the program and rather just have a sequence of the NLC meetings, then we could deal with it in one go rather than it being stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. Because, I mean, we've only discussed the draft program today, so for us to be able to get things going by this week is going to prove to be rather difficult. But maybe if we just look at, you know, making sure that it's sequential in terms of the appointment process, that may do us good as a portfolio committee.
Chair, Mr. Mbuyani, thank you.
Honourable Mbuyani.
Chairperson, thank you. Good morning and for the opportunity. Chair, according to the program as presented, I would rather second the whip to go and look at the program. But according to me, there's nothing wrong with the program. I wanted to adopt the program. Thank you, Chair.
If I may, Chair?
Yes. Andre?
In response to Mrs. Herman's concern regarding the plenary on the 9th, we can request that the committee be excused for the plenary session depending on if it's a three-line whoop or not. from the House Chairperson and Chief Whip to grant us approval to meet during the plenary, Chair, so we can submit an application to the committee, so depending on the nature of the plenary session, Chair, so we can have that, Chair. Chair, with regard to the program, if we may, and why we have the program schedule as is, Chair, Chair, you'll see on the 26th of February, we are finalizing the short listing of candidates. Then, we at this stage, we do not know how many candidates will be shortlisted because the committee didn't make a decision. And the week that we have given, we gave ourselves a week to finalize logistics of informing the candidates that they've been shortlisted and make the necessary travel arrangements. As part of that process, there's an application process that goes with that. And that process normally is not as smooth as we would think, Chair, so it will be a challenge for us to hear Mr. Cuthbert and Mrs. Hermans. It will be a challenge for us to be ready on this, because we will probably shift it up and have it on the second to have the candidates. Will give us, it will be a logistical challenge for us, Chair. So hence the program was set up to allow us that week to contact the candidates, Chair, and make the necessary travel arrangements for those candidates so that they can be there on the 9th. That's the rationale for the week that we that's why we're not immediately after the shortlisting having the interviews. We allow ourselves time to inform the stakeholders on Friday and then also make the necessary travel arrangements. This application process, Chair, is normally not as quick as possible because it's a political application and then a financial application. It takes about 2 or 3 days, Chair. Since we gave us that time to do that in that, for that week of the second, that week of the 2nd of March, Chair. That is just the rationale, Chair, but we are subject to the decision of the committee, but I thought we just want to raise that challenge that we'll be facing, Chair, as a secretariat. Thanks.
Okay, let's actually do this. The members have actually pointed on the issue which is very important on our agenda. And I think with the motivation of the National Lotteries Commission, Chair, is the point where one is just saying, in what we have in the program, in every step, we should be able to just indicate where we are, how we're doing, and then we will actually then be able to actually share with members in terms of the actual program implementation. So let me actually then agree with members that NLC chairperson issue is a very important one, and for the portfolio committee, it has been identified as an issue that we should do properly without actually challenges of stopping and starting. But at this stage, with the gaps we have in between from what the Secretariat is saying, there is actually preparatory work for the next session. So can we say for the meeting that we're going to have, we should actually then be able to have a program which indicates what by when? Because I think on my part, one would actually then accept that the portfolio committee accepts the program, and in terms of what we actually have suggested for the NLC, which is identified as an important issue by the committee members, we would actually then be able to give an update of progress and way forward every time we engage on the NLC process. But for now, let's actually get the move for the agenda. And I'm sure for the other issues we spoke about, we can be able to follow through administratively and update the portfolio committee on progress. Can I actually move for the adoption of the agenda?
Mrs. Hermans and Mr. Mbuyani's hands are raised, Chair.
Honorable Hermans.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the program, subject to certain tweaks that would be needed to it.
Yes,
so move, Chair.
Mbuyani.
Honorable Mbuyani. Thank you. I second the proposal. Thank you.
Let's actually just check from members if ever there's any objection. In the absence, can we then agree that we take the next item on the agenda, and in terms of the item on the agenda, we would actually then be inviting the department led by the DG to be able to speak, introduce us to the issue relating to the status of the report from the NRCS and progress regarding the implementation of the turnaround strategy. The purpose of the briefing, I think, is for the NRCS to update the committee on their progress made in terms of the implementation of their turnaround plan, as well as other ongoing matters. So I think maybe one would like us to welcome the official starter here. I'm sure the DG would be able to actually just introduce his team. Welcome, DG, and I'm sure we can be able to get you to introduce your team and actually help us to look at the agenda item as presented. DG?
Thank you,
Your line is bad, DG. Try and just check. Serious echo. I'm not sure what.
Excuse me, I'll switch.
The line is still terrible. I'm not sure what's actually happening. And just have a look because it's actually this connectivity probably. It's just an echo that we have from your voice.
Okay.
Let's actually do this because then you seem to have a problem with your voice at this stage. Maybe we can then actually just ask that you comment later, and then maybe the person that is making the presentation just check what's your problem, DG, and then let's actually have someone that will be presenting coming forward to take us through the presentation. Thank you very much.
It would be the CEO of the NRC, Mr. Mamadise, Chair.
Okay. Can I invite CEO Mamadise to actually take us presentation, throughout the presentation? Secretary, I'm sure that he knows how much time he's got, because I was just looking at the presentation. Mamadise?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members and the DG. Can you hear me clearly, Chair?
We're loud and clear. Thanks very much. You can go ahead, CEO.
Yes, thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. Let me start by introducing the delegation that is with me, Abigail Tulare, the Chief Operating Officer, Mrs. Rebecca Ramcharan, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Bongani Kanyile, GM Electrotechnical, Edward Matemba, Manager Strategy, and the acting CIO, Nomathemba Majola, are with me, Chair. In terms of the presentation, I will start on the slide 6. The reason why the NRCS needed to develop and implement a turnaround plan, it was because of the issues on the left that are in red. There were vacant key positions that were also identified by the AG, inadequate funding of legal metrology, long turnaround times for LOAs, qualified audit opinion, qualified post-retirement audit, delays in the implementation of the modernization program. As you can see on the right side, Chair, we have made a significant progress in addressing most of the issues. The key positions have been filled. The LOA backlog has been eradicated. The revenue qualification is the only issue that still remains a challenge. I will come to that a little bit later in the presentation. The post-retirement benefit qualification has been resolved. There is significant progress in the implementation of the ICT modernization program. As you can see, Chair, in 2018-19, we had 84 audit findings, four of which led to the qualified audit outcome. We have improved the situation in 2019-20 audit, where we have reduced the audit findings to only 26, with only one of the audits leading to the qualification, which is the completeness of revenue. Out of the 26 audit qualification from the last audit, 8 were financial audits, 16 were ICT, 1 governance, 1 performance management. We have already started the program to resolve these 26 audit findings. 6 audit findings have already been resolved. 7 ICT findings will be resolved with the implementation of the ERP system. The 13 findings are still work in progress. Just to assist the committee chair, in terms of the 13 audit findings that are there, most of them are housekeeping issues that will be resolved by the end of the financial year. But they are just 2 significant issues, which are the completeness of revenue and irregular expenditure emanating from expired leases. Those are the 2 issues that may require some significant attention and intervention. As I've indicated, Chair, the human resource updates, the 2 areas of qualification that happened in the 2018-19 financial year have been resolved, the post-retirement and the actual evaluation that were completed in the 2019-20 audit. Leave management has been addressed by implementing the online system, where we are able to manage the leave electronically. Payroll as well, we have implemented the system with the assistance of SABS. Just one issue under human resource, Chair, that I want to emphasize is the appointment of interns that started with us on the 2nd of January 2021. These are 19 interns that we have managed to appoint even under the difficult economic circumstances presented by the COVID pandemic. Still continuing on the human resource, this is just a little bit details in terms of the positions that we have managed to fill. The finance manager, the head of SCM, the chief information officer, all those positions have been filled. The chief information officer will be starting permanently with us on the 8th of March 2021. The other critical positions that were identified in the last 6 months, the CFO position has been filled, and she started with us on the 1st of February, and she's present in this committee for the first time as the CFO of the NRCS. Senior Manager Human Resource also started on the 1st of February 2021. The other issue that we intervention that we started to implement is the review of the organizational structure. The process is at the advanced stage where the committee has finalized the work around the development of the microstructure, the macrostructure, and all that is remaining is to conclude the report to enable us to submit the proposal to the DTIC as required by legislation. There were also issues of policy that have not been reviewed. In the last few months, we have managed to review three policies that are now being implemented. That will be the loan service award, the tool of trade, and migration and placement policy. There are only three remaining policies that need to be updated, and they are at a consultation stage. Now, in terms of the area of qualification, which is the revenue qualification from non-exchange revenue, which is basically a legal technical issue on the taxable event as required by accounting standards, specifically GRAP 23, where we have seen that there is a possibility of misalignment between the legislation and the and the accounting standards. The NRCS, we have appointed experts who specialize in accounting standards. They have assisted us in terms of developing a plan and submitting the recommendations for consideration by National Treasury and the Auditor General in a bid to resolve the interpretation issue that I have highlighted between the legislation and the accounting standards. Simultaneously, Chair, we are also engaging our legal team in order to consider possible amendments to the regulations and the legislations to help us out of this legal technical issue of revenue qualification. We are also reviewing our internal processes to strengthen some of the internal control deficiencies that contributes to a smaller extent to the audit qualification. The other control measures that we have implemented as recommended by the Auditor General is failure to consider all actual declarations. We are now utilizing actual declarations as opposed to blanket estimation for companies that fail to declare but subsequently declare levies. The levy estimates, we have completed an estimation methodology that we have implemented in the last financial year, albeit with some findings from the Auditor General. The new customers, we are performing quarterly data analysis to ensure that the companies that are identified either through inspections or approvals are timely registered on the system and they are able to declare levies. We have resolved the issue of administrative penalty. That was an issue in 2018-19 audit. We are continuously cleaning the database to ensure that all inactive companies are removed from the system so that we have accurate data for preparation of the financial statements. In terms of the LOA's update, Chair, we have made a huge significant strides in terms of addressing the issues of backlog. All applications that are above 60 days have been reviewed, and applications that are above 20 days are either waiting for applicants to address the findings or they are at the final stages of the issuance of an LOA. In terms of the performance year to date, we are sitting at almost 93% of applications approved within 120 days against the target of 95%. This we have managed to do even in these difficult times of COVID-19 pandemic. In terms of the measuring instruments, all measuring instruments, 100% of them are issued within the specified 120 days turnaround time. Gaming approvals, we are sitting at almost 100%, which are applications that are resolved within 80 days. In automotive space, we are also sitting at around 100% of all automotive approvals within 120 days turnaround time. In chemicals, materials, and mechanicals, we are sitting at 80%, mainly because of the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, where we have seen the number of applications for PPE increasing as early as last year due to the demand that has been created by the pandemic. These are just some of the interventions that we have implemented to resolve the issue of the backlog. We have implemented the 30 days cancellation across all our business, core business areas, which have seen a huge improvement in terms of the turnaround time. We have implemented the risk-based approach, wherein the high-risk applications are still within 120 days. Medium-risk applications are mostly resolved within 90 days. Low-risk application in less than 60 days. This is just the impact of the implementation of the RBA, where we have seen in 2021 that 61 of the applications have actually been finalized within 60 days. This has carried over from Q1 to quarter three, where we've seen in Q3 that 71 of the applications are actually finalized within 60 days. In the electrotechnical space, where there has been significant challenges since 2015-16, we have put and committed ourselves to reduce the applications on hand to 1,006, which is in keeping with the number of applications that we usually received on a monthly basis. So you can see that it is inevitable that at some stage you cannot get rid of all the applications, because on monthly basis we receive an average of 1,200 applications. Even in electrotech, the risk-based approach has been implemented, and which has seen the improvement in terms of the turnaround time of almost 93%, as I've indicated. In terms of the additional resources, we utilizing market surveillance inspectors to assist with approval applications, especially during the hard lockdowns, level 5 and level 4, where there were minimal inspections being conducted. And we have appointed 6 inspectors, as previously reported, and they are fully functional. And we also added some administration capacity for capturing of an issuance of the LOAs, which have been complemented by also appointment of 2 interns that started in January 2021. As I've indicated, Chair, year-to-date achievement for 2021, we are sitting at almost 91%. A total of application on hand is 1,006 compared to 2,271 applications and 1,084 applications in Q1 and Q3 respectively. All these applications have been assigned. They are either approved, awaiting capturing and issuance of LOAs, or they are waiting for corrective action by customers. In terms of the market surveillance inspections, the market surveillance inspection have been severely impacted by the lockdown restrictions as a result of the pandemic. However, 2 units that have been fully functional or almost fully function is the food and associated industries, which has been supporting the essential services and the CMM. That obviously for PPE, they have also been supporting essential services. In terms of the number of inspections in food, they are sitting at 18,348. Overall inspections is sitting at 7,475 for their core businesses, which is electrical, electrotech, CMM, automotive, and yes. Progress made in terms of the implementation of the modernization. We have appointed a service provider in July 2020 to assist with the implementation of the enterprise resource planning, which will be the base for the entire modernization plan of the organization. The formal kickoff of the project took place on the 5th of October 2020. We will be prioritizing the payroll, the leave management, and the finance modules, which would assist in resolving some of the audit findings that I've spoken about earlier on. The go-live date for these systems, it is anticipated to be the end of March 2021. The overall completion date of the ERP system is planned for May 2021, and where after we will start with the second phase of the modernization program. We continue to modernize the existing regulatory systems. The online registration of all regulated entities has been concluded in June 2020. Online declaration of levies is anticipated to be completed by March 2021. Obviously, all this system will be integrated into the new ERP system that we are implementing, we continue to work with CIPC in terms of creating synergies between the platform that they have in terms of the registration of companies and our e-forms to register companies on our database. We are at the advanced stage of finalizing the appointment of the resource company, a panel of resource companies that will assist us with the implementation of the, especially the regulatory system that will be the second phase of the modernization program. We anticipate that the appointment will be concluded by the end of the financial year, which is March 2021. This is just to highlight to the committee the impact of the COVID-19 on the NRCS operations. We haven't been immune in terms of the impact, the economic impact. We have seen a reduction in levy revenue. In fact, in the current financial year, we anticipated a loss of revenue of about 30%. Even with this significant reduction of revenue, we are confident that the entity is still going to be a going concern for the foreseeable future because of other interventions that we have put in place, like cost savings from traveling. Obviously, that is imposed by the restrictions and lockdown restrictions. Also, in terms of the savings in other areas, as well as the surpluses that we have as entity that will supplement any shortfall in terms of the revenue that will be required to sustain the entity. The impact on the market surveillance, our ability to conduct market surveillance, I've already indicated that that we were not able to meet the target, some of the targets as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. However, we have submitted a revised annual performance plan to the DTIC. We are waiting for approval of that. In terms of the work that we have been doing to support the essential services in chemicals and materials, as I've indicated, in terms of the PPE, we have managed to approve over 300 applications for masks and over 1,000 applications for disinfectants. We have assisted 500 companies with importation and manufacturing of related products. As a competent authority, obviously in FAI, which is Food and Associated Industry, we have issued 11,181 health guarantees and compliance certificates, which assisted our local companies to import and export regulated fish products. In ensuring food security, we inspected a factory at the production level. A total of 721 factories and vessels were inspected. In terms of the way forward, we will dedicate resources to expedite the implementation of the ICT modernization project. We will work with the National Treasury, the DTIC, and the AG in trying to find a common ground towards resolving the revenue qualification that has troubled the entity for the past few years. We are also looking at mechanisms to improve efficiency in processing the LOAs and reducing the turnaround times. I must say, Chair, that on my engagement with most of the industry and stakeholders in NEDLAC, the issue is no longer about the processing of the LOAs per se, but the issue is more about the 120 days as a target. And we have taken those concerns seriously, and we are looking at a way of trying to meet the industry halfway, and we have established an internal a working committee to look at a possible intervention that we can propose to reduce the turnaround times for processing of the LOA. We will also dedicate resources to the new phenomenon, which is also increased by the new normal, where we have seen the number of regulated products that are advertised online and on e-commerce platforms. We need to come up with measures to countenance the non-compliance of some of the companies that advertise unapproved and non-compliant products on these platforms. We also looking at the proposals to strengthen the legislation and the regulations in terms of the sanctioning mechanisms to improve compliance across the market. We will continue to engage the DTIC in terms of the legal metrology funding. And that will be it, Chair. But I will ask the COO and the CFO, as well as the other team members, to add before I hand over to you, Chair. If I have missed something, they can compliment me.
Okay, let's actually check from the team of Mr. Mamadise, CEO, if there are any further contributions from the team, as he has suggested.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Just to add to the presentation that the CEO has presented to the committee is the fact that we are seeing a trend in terms of a reduction of applications that we are receiving, and obviously due to the challenge that we are all facing in terms of the economy. And he made an example to say the electrotechnical unit has been receiving almost 2,400 applications initially in terms of the trend analysis, but recently that number has gone down where we are receiving 1,200 per month. And precisely because of the fact that as well the electrotech unit is one of those units amongst the different core business units that are receiving a highest number, and the trend has been they're processing almost 74% of the total LOAs that we are receiving. So, and the impact obviously is that it's now tapping on our revenue, because now we are no longer receiving that number of applications as well as the revenue that we're expecting from those applications. I think that's what I need to add to the presentation. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
That was the COO, Ms. Tulare. Let's just check if there's any further comments from the CFO. The CEO said, thank you, welcome.
Thank you, welcome, Chair and Honourable Members. Nothing further to add from my side, thanks.
Thank you very much. Let me actually then, the CEO did say that he's actually concluded his presentation, and I will actually try and go back to the DG. There was actually a challenge with the voice DG. Just for that remarks we missed, if I can ask you to, yes.
No, Chair, I'm completely covered, and as you can see, substantial progress has been made with regards to the turnaround of the NRCS. As you know, the only, I think the finances are stabilized, the operations are stabilized, and I think they're in a good position going forward. They've employed the necessary staff now, including the CEO, including the CFO, and including IT. So the only big issue now is the issue of now trying to improve things, and that is, as indicated, the 120 days which it takes to complete the inspections. Now, Chair, I think there is a task team which will try to reduce that number by a reasonable amount, but I think we shouldn't put too much pressure on them, because, as you know, the purposes of these inspections is to ensure that the goods are healthy and safe for use by consumers, because, as you know, they deal with food products, especially seafood products, which, as you know, we need to be careful about, and it needs to be ensured that it's safe for consumption. Similarly, with electrical products, those things, if it is substandard, if it is not viable, we must ensure that we have proper goods. We, for example, seen how sub-quality cement buildings have collapsed because so it is very important that they do exercise proper care and due diligence, but where possible they can, without affecting the quality of their work, there is agreement that we must try to reduce the times and so on. But Chair, overall, that is the progress. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, DG. I'm sure because today we spoke to the National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications, NRCS, and I thought maybe the other turnaround strategy that we were looking at as well is actually looking at the SABS, and I think it will be quite important just to indicate that we try to looking at those specific two bodies. They do have separate programs, and I think today we actually had the CEO Mamadise leading a delegation of the team with the COO at Tulare, CFO Ramchandran, and then B. Kani, the general manager, risk manager Matemba, Mr., and the CIO information, Ms. Anne Majola. So we did welcome all of them. So I'm sure then DG on our part today and the CEO, we actually want to see from the last presentation we received what are the progress points. I think we have actually got through your input some of the issues, but I think on our part we want to see if you're stabilizing the development towards the growth we're expecting. So those will be the things that we actually want to really focus at. We will be opening up to members to ask clarity questions and comment. And DG, maybe we will actually, after we finish, we'll come back to you as well to actually help us round up the point of where we're at and what are the actually steps of getting us out of the situation and to the direction that we're actually more stable and growing. Can I just check from honorable members if there are any comments and or questions? Can I open up a room? Yes.
Chairperson, had Mr. Kappa's hand, he lowered it. I don't know if he still wants to ask a question. And then Mr. Tring at the moment, Chair.
Let's check honorable Kappa.
Thanks very much, Chair. Chair, I just want to ask one question, and that's related to the ERP system. If they could please just inform us how much it has cost to roll out this system at the NRCS, who the service provider is, and what the length of the contract is that they've signed with the service provider to provide for the rollout of the various modules needed by the NRCS.
Thank you very much. The next member, you said,
Mr. Thring, followed by Ms. Yaku, Chair.
Honorable Thring, and then Honorable Yaku. Honorable Thring.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to firstly appreciate the presentation and also recognition from the side of the ACDP on the progress that is that has been made. Just a few questions, Chair. Firstly, on slide 7, the CEO spoke about, I think it was expired leases as well as some irregular expenditure, which resulted in the audit finding from the Auditor General. So could you just speak to that? And I think I may have missed it. What were those expired leases and what was the amount of the irregular expenditure? Secondly, Chair, could you also just let us know what is the impact on the long turnaround times that existed, and what is that particular impact of the long turnaround times on the actual business at NRCS? Because certainly if you have long turnaround times in actually dealing with your LOAs and so on, that also impacts on the business of NRCS. Then with regards to the accounting practice, the GRAP or the generally recognized accounting practice system, how long has that been in effect for? I think it is, my understanding, it is a part of your Public Finance Management Act, but how long has that been in practice? And when was the transition from the previous system to GRAP, generally recognized accounting practice? And then my last two questions with regards to the pandemic that we've been facing with regards to COVID. There have been some complaints about huge amounts of or excess amounts of ethanol being used in some of the sanitizers. And ethanol also carries a health risk. Can they speak to just how are we looking at eliminating fake sanitizers or harmful sanitizers coming onto the market? There have also been reports, University of Cape Town had a study and there were fake N95 and K995 masks. And these are masks essentially for our frontline workers purportedly coming from China. So what progress has been made on reducing the poor quality of these masks, which put our frontline workers at risk? Thank you, Chair.
The mayor has for Yaku, Honorable Yaku.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have quite a few comments to make with regards to the report that I received. I do feel like when I arrived in the 6th Parliament in this committee, we were receiving sort of the same report from the NRCS, from the CEO. He was always apologetic about his report, and I feel like even this report is still very much apologetic. I thought when we were told that we have a turnaround strategy from the NRCS, we would see a turnaround strategy from the NRCS that would speak to a lot of issues that we've highlighted before. First of all, they talk about on slide 6 about delays that were identified in modernizing their ICT systems. And I'm wondering if how far have they gone towards that. Secondly, on also slide 7, it talks about an external auditor. I'm not sure if it was the AG that was auditing and that found then 26 findings and the 2019-2020 audit. Thirdly, I'd like to ask, what is the plan in terms of the structure, their own structure or building? Because I think the last time we went to oversight, they were residing in the building of the SABS. and we saw a lot of issues there, a lot of breakdown in the way that they were running things based on the fact that they were actually residing in the building of the ACBS. So I'm also curious as to how far they've come into having their own space where they're functioning in a proper manner. Fourthly, they say they've hired, they've got nineteen interns that they have assimilated into the structure, and I want to understand what qualifications do those interns have that they have absorbed into the NRCS, and how far they intend to go with them. Another question, I'm sorry, Chair, I'm going to go through it as we've gone through the slides. They've spoken about the impact of COVID in terms of the performance of their staff, and I feel like we've had from 2020 up until at this point, and I feel that it shouldn't be a factor to say the performance of staff, their lack of performance is due to COVID, because most companies have been prepared and they have adapted to the COVID conditions that we're in. And I wonder how far there is. It seems almost there's no strategy for me as to how far they've come in making sure that their staff is equipped to take in the intake, however they're working, or whether they're working remotely, or they go to wherever they need to go to regulate whatever they need to regulate. And I want to plead with the CEO. He's always got this demeanor of apology, and I want him to be very aggressive when it comes to the DG and the minister in terms of taking the NRCS very seriously. It's a very important entity in the Department of Trade and Industry, and I feel like he has not owned his position in a way it empowers his department, making sure that it is prioritized, because it's very important, and I feel like it has left very much behind, and we've almost always had to say the same thing all the time. Lastly, we've spoken about critical roles that have been filled, but I see that those roles mostly have been filled in 2021. So by when then do we expect to see results? The next time we receive a report from the NRCS, are we going to see the same kind of reports that we always see, or are they going to sit then with the new positions that they filled, key positions for that matter, and say that this is what we've come up with, this is how we've engaged with the minister and the DG, and this is how we're moving forward in making sure that your concerns in how we're running things have been addressed. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Yako. Can we ask Honourable Motaung?
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. Let me also applaud the entity with the progress that I see here. I think from our previous meeting with NRCS, there is a lot of progress, especially on LOAs, ICT, and human resource. I have only a few questions. My first question will be on the audit findings. I just want to check on the 13 findings that are remaining in process, if I can get an explanation of which ones are those on the 13 ones. And then lastly, on the issue of the interns, I wanted to ask the issue of the qualification, which qualification are they having, but also on the recruitment processes. How are they dealing with the issue of recruitment processes of those interns? Are they also considering to give the disadvantaged one opportunity of participating in their programs of their interns? Yes, Chair. And then lastly, I think NRCS can continue to work hard to make sure that they change the situation that NRCS used to have. But I'm happy with the progress that I see. Thanks, Chair.
Secretary, let me just check if ever there any further. Honourable Hammonds.
Thank you, Chair. Let me join others who have appreciated the progress that NRCS has made. And it's good to hear that some critical positions have been filled. But I agree with Honourable Yaku that we need to see the results of that in the performance of the entity. I just wanted to ask Chairperson, the high risk LOA's applications, you are saying that there's a task team to see how, to what extent it, the 120 days can be reduced to answer to the concerns of your clients and the market. So what is it that you are, what are you gunning for? What is your goal to get it down from 120 days to what number? And then I just wanted to ask, also related to an issue raised by Honourable Yaku, I think it would be useful, Chairperson, when NRCS comes to us again, that they include a slide of the organisational structure so that we can have an idea, because we've heard Ms. Tulare speaking about the reduced work that they have, so that means reduced income. So we do need to have an idea of their sustainability going forward, so that we don't only face it when it happens. And then just finally, Chair, this is a turnaround strategy. So by when do we think, what is our proposed date, even if it's a ballpark one, for when we can say that this entity has been turned around? Thank you, Chair.
Let me check, Secretariat, is there any other member who would like to comment or ask question before we ask the NRCS team to respond?
There's no other hands, Chair. We can
okay. Proceed. All right, let me go back to then the CEO, Mamadise, to actually then indicate how we're going to be able to respond or share information. That is Mamadise.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honorable Members, for the questions. Honorable Srin, in terms of the leases, NRCS has 5 regional offices, Durban, Port Elizabeth, Bloemfontein, Cape Town, and Hermanus. The challenge that we have in terms of those is that most of those leases have since expired, and there has been delay in terms of starting the procurement process timelessly so that we can regularize those leases, which has resulted in irregular expenditures. In terms of the amount of the irregular expenditure, I think the CFO will come in. But I think what is key for us is that we have dealt with all these irregular expenditures decisively by implementing consequences management. The official responsible for facilities has been taken through the process of disciplinary process, and she has been issued with a written a final written warning, and also she has been demoted. We will be expediting the process of appointing a specialist who would manage the facilities. There is a lot of history to that, Chair, because the person who has been responsible for facilities was employed as a records manager, and she has been asked to take over the facilities without proper training and assessment to determine whether she will be able to carry this responsibility. But as I said, we are correcting that. We'll be appointing a specialist to deal with management of facilities and securities. The impact of the long turnaround time, I will leave that to the COO. How long the GAP 23 has been effective, I will also leave that to the CFO. In terms of the ethanol used in sanitizers, I think, Chair, first, the starting point is that sanitizers are not regulated by NRCS. There is a national standard for sanitizers that has been developed by the SABS. I think NCC would be appropriate body to investigate any issues pertaining to the sanitizers at this stage, because there is no compulsory specifications dealing with hand sanitizers. In terms of the K95 mask, Chair, I think we have observed a lot of misunderstanding in terms of the regulation of mask. K95 mask is a normal mask that is used for particle filtration, so it can protect you from dust and the like, but it's not necessarily meant to protect anyone from viruses. If you're going to use K95 mask for biological filtration to protect you from diseases, there is a second process that you need to follow, which will involve the medical regulator. You will have to get approval from FAPRA to ensure that the mask is also can also be used for biological filtration over and above what is meant for. So the what usually happens is, because of this lack of understanding, people rely on NRCS approval of the K95 mask, which is solely meant for particle filtration, and they use that to use the mask in the medical space. That would be illegal, Chair, because you will need a second approval from FAPRA to ensure that the masks are medically safe for use in the medical sphere. Honorable Cuthbert, the ERP system, I must say that we have followed an open procurement process to appoint the service provider. but I will leave it to the CIO to give more details in terms of who has been appointed, what will be the cost of the project. Honorable Yako, the SI have highlighted the delays in the ICT system. I think the committee is well aware of the major issues that contributed to the delay, one of which was the irregularities in the procurement process, where we have to cancel the tender twice because of the possible irregularities that happened within the organization, where we have investigated those irregularities, and the person responsible resigned before we can take an action. So those are the kind of issues that have contributed to the delays in terms of the implementation of the modernization. However, we are at a stage where we have now started with the implementation. It is no longer about following the procurement process and the likes. We have appointed a service provider. The work is underway. The requirements are being assessed in terms of what a suitable system should be implemented for the organization and how it's going to be implemented. That work is already underway. As I said, we are looking at a go live date of March 2021 and May 2021 for the completion of the project. So it is not like we are giving the committee the same report. There is some progress that has been noted, and there is actual progress that we are satisfied as the leadership that we will be able to implement the project. In terms of the audit findings, that 26 audit findings, again, Honorable Yako, this is a huge improvement from where we were in 2018-19, where we had almost 84 audit findings from the AG, four of which contributed to the qualified opinion. In 2019-20, the narrative has changed significantly, that there is only one ground of qualification. And we have alluded to that this is not about the state of governance or weakness in internal control within the entity. It is purely a legal technical issue that needs to be resolved by the interventions that we have suggested to the National Treasury as the custodian of the standards, accounting standards. If that issue is resolved at that level, then we will be able as an entity to resolve the qualification. In terms of the nature of the findings, the 26 findings, I have emphasized that the out of these 13 findings, I'm also picking up on Honorable Mdaun's question on the process, on the audit findings. I have indicated that the only critical issues out of the 13 findings that remained unresolved is the revenue qualification, which we are following a process that involves the National Treasury, the Auditor General, and the DGIC. And the second key issue is the irregular expenditure. The remaining findings are medium risk findings and housekeeping findings that involve IT, and they will be resolved by September 2021 with the implementation of the ERP system. the two other findings are housekeeping findings in finance that will be resolved by the end of this financial year. And some of these findings, there's nothing that you can do until the actual preparation of the financial statements, because they have to do with how the financial statement has been prepared. So they will be resolved during the preparation of the AFS by the end of this financial year. The qualifications of interns, because the NRCS is mostly a technical organization, insofar as the technical employees are concerned, there is already an intervention that they will undergo 2 years training, compulsory training, before they qualify as inspectors. So it is not necessary to appoint interns for the technical side, because the 2 years that I've alluded to is a sort of an internship on the job. So in terms of the interns that we have appointed, they are mainly the support staff interns that will be supporting administration, that will be supporting HR, areas like HR, finance, and so forth. In terms of the qualifications, I think the national diploma is a standard qualification. Also, picking up on the Honorable Madown's question on the process that we have followed, we have advertised in the national newspaper, the Star, and I think even the Sunday Times. We followed the normal recruitment process, and the requirements were specific that we can only appoint people who have never been involved in the internship program, so that we take fresh people who have absolutely no experience or working experience. They have not been exposed to the to the world of work. So Honorable Hermans, the issue of 120 days, what are we looking at? I think I need to be very, very careful, as the DG has indicated, that there is a rationale behind the 120 days, which will ensure that the products that are allowed into the market are of high quality and do not impact on the safety of consumers or the environment. So it is key that we select very carefully when we talk about the reduction of the turnaround times. I think it will be premature, because the committee has only been assembled now in February to start the consultative process in terms of the possible recommendations that can be made to reduce the turnaround time. I would, with your permission, Chair, I would suggest that we will respond to that question when the committee has, the internal task team has concluded its work with recommendations. I note your comment on the organizational structure. Will give little bit of detail in terms of the organizational structure and the impact that it will have on the organization going forward, as well as the stages of the proposed implementation of the organizational structure. So Yeah, I think the other questions I would reserve them for the CIO, the COO, and the CFO, as I've alluded. But just to respond to the question by Honorable Jacob that we seem to be apologetic. We are not at all apologetic, we're just being humble in terms of the work that we are doing, in terms of the intervention that we have put in place. When we started this organization, there were a number of challenges, including instability within the organization, and we have managed to bring some stability within the organization. We are at a stage where we now need to focus on the long-term strategic objectives of the organization and ensuring that we continue to be a relevant organization that is able to support the economy and support the DTIC in its overall mandate of invigorating trade and economy in this country. Thank you. I will hand over to the CIO first to deal with the ERP question from Honorable Cuthbert.
All right. Thank you, CEO, and good morning, Honorable Members and Honorable Chair. I will just quickly answer the question around the ERP. As CEO mentioned, that indeed we went through an open tender, and then I think we received about 13 submissions during the publication of the tender. The highest price that we received, it was 90 million, with the lowest one, which was sitting at 16 million. And we managed to go through the processes, including the demos, to also check in terms of the fit of the solution with our architecture within the NRCS. And then we ended up going with Sage 300. The current service provider is Aptec. The total cost of the solution is 29 million. This includes the implementation phase, which will take us about 9 to 10 months, as we have started the project already in October. And
sorry to interrupt. It was unclear the amount. If you could please just repeat it.
The total cost of the solution is 29 million. The implementation, it will take us about 9 to 10 months with the 5-year support. So the overall cost, including, so I would say the overall cost of the 5-year period, it is going to be 29 million. The overall modules that we are planning to implement, including the management modules, we're looking at 12. And remember the focus, it is much more on the finance, the HCM, the SCM, with the payroll, and then fleet management. But then we have a number of value-adding type of modules, which includes things like fleet management, traveling management, business process management, case management, fixed assets, budgeting tool, as well as the document management. In terms of the rollout already, we have prioritized some of these modules. As CEO mentioned earlier, that we are looking at the payroll already, which we're planning to implement now in March, and beginning of March, where we'll be already doing the testing phases, because the requirement sessions, we also started them in October. And then also some of the finance modules that we started with, you know, things like the invoicing, also on the SCM side, we're looking at the procurement side of things. We just prioritized on the significant modules that we can start with at this stage. But then the overall implementation, we're looking at the May as the go live. So now, meaning the system needs to have been fully implemented by May 2021. And then obviously, if there are any issues that we may be facing after they may we have also put in place June, just to make sure that we sort out whatever issues that we may be facing with the ERP system. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
There was a next member of the team that needed to respond from CEO's suggestion.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'll respond to the issue of the long turnaround times. I think, you know, as the NRCS, we are continuously committed to ensure that we do support the industries that we are regulating, and also making sure that we do not become a barrier to trade, because we need to create that enabling environment. And for us, we have taken heed in terms of what the industry is crying out loud about. And as the CEO has indicated, the task team will look at, you know, the evidence, because we need to use that evidence in terms of our trends, in terms of our performance, to make sure that we do unlock those areas that are still a challenge. But just to give comfort to members, evidence so far has shown that most of those applications that are 120 days, with our continuous commitment to make sure that we do not have applications over 120 days, have been mainly because of, you know, outstanding documents, like mostly test reports for those high-risk products. And of course, because products, when we categorize them in terms of that slide that the CEO spoke about, where we categorize the low risk, to be processed within 60 days, 90 days will be a medium, and high will be 120. Our commitment is to make sure that we don't have, you know, a leakage of those products into the market that will be harmful to the public. But with this task team, we'll come back and provide the committee with feedback in terms of what were the findings, to ensure that that evidence we use to inform our decision in terms of managing the long turnaround time. Thank you.
Let's check CEO.
CFO, yes. CFO on the regular expenditure, the amount.
Okay. Good morning once again, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The irregular expenditure for the last financial year was $3.2 million. Majority of which related to the lease contracts, as explained by the CEO. With regards to the implementation of DRAP 23 has been in existence for quite a while now. It has been in existence from the inception of the NRCS, so it's not something new that the NRCS had to adopt. The qualification on these standards have been in existence for the last maybe 7 or 8 years. The reason why initially it wasn't regarded as an issue was, I think it wasn't looked at in totality with the Act and the regulation. So as the years progress, the Auditor General has looked at the Act, the regulations, and GRAP 23 in conjunction with one another, and that's where the technicality and the compliance aspects arose. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Okay, CEO.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think we have dealt with all the questions.
Okay. Let me just check, CEO, if ever there are any further questions, and if maybe there are any comments from members in terms of the ones that you've got, Secretariat.
Chair, at the moment, there's no indication of any further hands, Chair.
Okay. So I think we may actually have to go back to our DG. If ever there any specific issue you'd like to raise, DG, because we're trying to actually pick up on the issues with only two entities that we have with this kind of challenge in terms of turnaround strategy, and I'm sure we would actually be able to follow through on both SABS and NRCS. And I'm not sure if ever there's any comment from your side, DG, and I'm sure we will be able to get engaged tomorrow on the other related issues. DG?
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the members for the contribution and the guidance going forward. As indicated, we at least when we had to put the turnaround strategy in place and second Edward and other staff to NRCS, they were in crisis. There was labor unrest. There was a conflict within the management. There was no IT systems in place and so on. So I think even though I think there's still work to be done, I think the institution has been successfully stabilized. It is financially sound. The key skill set is in place. And of course, there's now lots of work to take them to world-class standards. Chair, I can also report that we will be presenting a report shortly on SABS. SABS is in a similar position. They've also managed to successfully address the issue of the audit findings. They've also been able to bring SABS back into operations to do proper testing, to do proper accreditation and so on. The only issue why we requested a bit of a extension for SABS is, unlike the NRCS, which is, as you can see, is financially sound and has a clear targets in the next 3 years, with regards to SABS, whilst they are operationally sound, the audit committee has said that financially there will have to be some cost reductions within SABS, and some critical decisions has to be made by the turnaround team and the administrators. So, of course, as you know, if you're going to get into the area of cost reduction, and especially where it will be impacting on staff, there has to be the critical engagement with the bargaining chamber, with the trade unions, and so on. So it is that what we requested you to say, give us a chance just to engage on that issue with the trade unions, but with regards to the turnaround, things are proceeding smoothly. And we will then report to you fully once we have engaged all the stakeholders and especially the trade unions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. I am sure we would actually be able to say, in the absence of members of the committee having any further comments or questions, we would actually try and actually conclude the discussion of the NRCS report and then actually proceed to the next item on the agenda. Secretary, you did say that there are no further comments from members, there are no further questions. And on the basis of, I think on the basis of that, then we would actually ask that we pick up the next item on the agenda, which will actually sort of would actually assist us about the program for tomorrow. It's 3 days of SONA, today, tomorrow, and Thursday, and we are meeting tomorrow as well, and there will be actually the presentation by the department relating to the second and third quarter report, financial and non-financial performance. So let me just actually ask that we then conclude our meeting, Secretary, unless there's something I'm missing. That will be
outside, Chair. You've covered everything.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honourable members, I'm sure then we can actually then reconvene tomorrow. For today's meeting, we will adjourn our meeting. And in the afternoon, I know all of us will be sitting through in the debate or participating in the debate of the SONA. And thanks very much. We will actually adjourn our meeting and we will meet tomorrow at 9. Thank you very much. Our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, the Chair.